Thank God for the promises that He's given us in His Word. So don't feel like they're true for me. Hang on. If He promised it, I can assure you it will happen. He's never lied. The Bible says three times God cannot lie. He will not lie. He holds His Word above His name. If He's promised you something, you can take it to the bank. It's as good as done. Now, the timing may not be on your schedule. You better understand that.
Yes, sir.
The devil will have you bitter at God. And our flesh will get bitter at God when He's just not an instant response kind of God. We need to keep in mind who we're dealing with and talking to. We're not to command Him and demand Him to hop to it. God knows best. Whether we understand that or not, He knows best. He's sovereign. He's still in charge. He ain't lost an ounce of His power. He knows what He's doing. And you, so if your answer hadn't come yet, just wait. Wait on the Lord. And it will come. If He promised you, it'll happen. I promise according to His Word, and His Word is true. Well, the Lord prepared me for this, I guess, Thursday night. I had a message ready for this morning, and thought it would be what I'd be preaching on. I was going to preach on the heart, a troubled heart. Maybe dealing with that this evening. I was praying this morning, and all the way up till this right before preaching, right before I walked over here, I was up in my office, and I just saw this old outline laid there. I picked it up, and I believe with all my heart that's what the Lord would have us deal with this morning. When I said the Lord prepared my heart Thursday, we went to hear Thursday night, Jenny and the girls were singing up in Landrum, and went to hear Brother Alfred Willis preach, and it was the closing night of revival, and people packed in, big night. Great preacher, well-known preacher, a hero of mine, giant in the faith. And the singing was tremendous, not just my family, I wouldn't mean it that way. They did good too. But everything, the service was great. And then the preacher, Pastor Tommy Turner, he said, "All right, Preacher Willis, it's yours." And he come up, he said, "I'd just rather y'all sing another hour and me get out of the way." And he was sincere. But he had to be obedient to the Lord. And this morning, I would rather just let him sing about an hour and get out of the way. But God has put a message on my heart. For who, I don't know. But without question, God has a word for somebody. And if you've already tuned me out, I would pull the plugs out of my ear, because it might be for you. That very person who said, "Oh, I know who needs that." Well, it's probably you.
Right. Amen, preacher. Amen.
Lord, help us. James, book of James, chapter 1. This is not what you would call a Sunday morning message. Getting back to what I was saying on that Thursday night, closing night of revival, Brother Willis got up and said, "Dear Lord, this is not the kind of message I want to preach on the closing night of revival." He said, I have a hard time preaching this at my church, much less in a revival meeting, much less the last night of the meeting." And he got up, and I mean, he just, you're talking about hard preaching. It was solid, biblical, but straightforward, hard preaching. And I thank the Lord for it. It helped me. It helped me a lot. But it ain't what you would imagine, you know, the highlights of a revival. You know, it was just down-to-earth Bible preaching. And it's a good reminder to know, no matter how high the highs get, and how loud the amens get, and how wonderful the praise is, we've met to gather around the Word of God. This book is what will change you. And it changed me. It has changed me. I believed it. James chapter number 1, verse number 12. You've been seated a while. Let's stand. In reverence to the reading of God's Word, we'll read verses 12 through 18. James chapter 1, verse number 12. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." You can have a seat. Now let me just go ahead and read verse 19, since it's there and so good. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear." Y'all know what swift means? Some of you youngins, some of you young folk, y'all know what swift is? Swift. Fast. Quick. Be ready to hear. Be ready to listen. Don't stop there. Be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. Amen. In the reading, we hit a word, and it's all through here. Matter of fact, the word's all through the Bible. And it's the word temptation. And I don't know what you believe this morning about being tempted. It's not a sin to be tempted. Jesus was tempted. In Matthew chapter number 4, you recall the devil himself went to tempt none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So we know it can't be a sin to be on the receiving end of temptation. But according to James, the book of James, temptation is something we should all take serious. We should all be concerned with temptation. Because according to what I just read out of God's holy word, you will face temptation. I will face temptation. And your family will face temptation. Your children will face temptation. It said, we just read it, all men, men including women. And so I want to preach this morning on the subject, the truth about temptation. Not what you think about it, not what I think about temptation. Maybe not what you've even heard before, but I want to tell you the truth about temptation right out of the Word of God. We'll do that quickly and we'll be done. But I hope you'll listen. God didn't change my mind and my heart and put a burden on me at the last minute to get this Word to whoever needs it. Probably more than one. By way of introduction, we understand the definition of temptation. Here in the book of James, the word is used many times, several times over, but they don't all have the same meaning. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, in the Greek, in the Bible can contradict itself. The Bible cannot contradict itself. So we got to look closely at what God says here. A lot of people, you skim read the Bible and you say, well, goodness, that don't make sense. I thought God said this right there, and then here's He saying not to do it right there. There's never a contradiction in this book. If it ever seems to be that way, Just trust God. It ain't that way. And give him the space to teach you and train you and show you and reveal to you that his ways are way above ours. And there's no contradiction at all found in his word. The Bible cannot contradict itself. So look closely at the text. In the earlier verses, it appears that God is tempting. But then it says, neither tempteth he any man. So is that a contradiction? Well, no. It's not. The Greek word found in the earlier verses is parosimos, meaning a trial or a test. When God, listen, God will test you. God will send you through trials, but He'll never tempt you to do evil. God will never do that. So when you see that word temptation and God being the one doing it, it comes from that Greek word parosimos, which means to try you, to see if you've been paying attention in class. The test time. You put the books away and the teacher goes silent and it's test time. You young people, I heard one. I went to pick up Elliot and the girls from school the other day. I was in the checkout line. I wasn't at the grocery store. I got in the pickup line. I don't know how that sounds either. I wasn't there to pick up my child. Hey, you married men, you don't want me to be trying to pick up no ladies. Just say that while we're there. But I was making the turn where Holly is throwing them names and numbers, telling which kids to come. Or Miss Jones, any of y'all kids who are in school. And this is the truth. I heard one of them teachers tell a parent, said, my goodness, at this point in the year, I just hope they're using their brain to do anything. Hey, listen. We need to know how to handle temptation. If I was to ask you honestly, have you been tempted this week to do anything? I've been tempted today. This is something that happens often. And we need to know the difference between when God's doing it and when the devil's doing it. There's a huge difference. That word parosimos that I gave you is when God is testing and trying us. It's different from the word we're going to read right here, where we just read. And the word is paroso. It's a completely different word. Paroso is not parosimo. It's paroso is the Greek word for tempting and temptation to divert to evil, to trip you up, to make you fall. That's a whole different meaning from the word temptation. That word speaks of a trial and is related to our faith. A temptation is related to our flesh. You see the difference? A trial. I said, God trials us. And when we're going through a trial, that's related to our faith. God will try to build faith in you. He will put you through hardship and hard times to build your faith. But temptation is not related to faith. Temptation is related to flesh. You see the difference? A trial, a test from God has got to do, it's conditioned to our heart and to our faith and how we trust God. But that other is to our flesh. Temptation, that's flesh. You know when you get that craving to go do something you used to do? That thought goes through your mind and you ponder on it and think, I might like to go back to the bar, hang out, sing a karaoke song. Remember them good old times. One time won't hurt. You think that's of God? God ain't never going to tell you to go to no bar. Ain't going to ever tell you to go to no concert where there's a bunch of craziness going on. So, I got this temptation. It ain't from the Lord. It ain't from the Lord. Because if it appeals to your flesh, it ain't the Lord. Amen. You're having a hard time and it's got to do with your faith? Now, that's another story. That's God. Right. So why are you spending so much time there? Because it's critically important that you know where it's coming from.
Amen.
Amen. You got, because you got to deal but with each in their own way. You can't treat the devil the way you treat God. God's our teacher. He's our help. He's our guide. And so we can't resist him and get mad at him. No, he's trying to help us by testing us. But the devil, hey, he's trying to kill you. Don't forget the Bible still says he cometh to kill, steal, and to destroy you. That's what he wants to do. And he's in the business of doing that. And I ain't talking about way out yonder in California or across the world. I'm talking about right here in Packlet, right here in Morningstar Baptist Church. The devil is trying to ruin people. And he's doing a good job of it. Are you listening? This thing of temptation is real. Let me give you a couple of more that can separate the two between trials from God or tests from God versus temptation. A trial exposes the strength of God, where temptation exposes the weakness of the flesh. You see the difference? A trial is when we encounter something we have no control over, whereas temptation is when we engage in something we do have control over. You get that? That's worth repeating. A trial is when you get into something that you have no control over. That's a trial. That ain't always pleasant. I mean, when it gets outside of your reach, hey, mamas, daddies, I'm a father. I'm at the point in life where, Brother Jackie, my girls who's sitting right here listening to me preach, and they know this is true. There was a time I could spank them. Well, I still can't. But it don't do no good. They get to a certain age where, I remember getting to the age where I said, spank me. Let me go ahead and get it, mine and move on. But restriction, take my keys. No. My point is, they get into the age to where they're outside my reach. I can't always have a physical eye on them. There's not a box I can put them in like a baby that you can keep control, complete control. No, when it gets out of control, that's faith. That's a test from God that'll strengthen and test your faith. But when it's within your control and you're being tempted to do that, that's temptation. Right. When you have a choice in the matter and you choose yet to engage in it, and when you had it, hey, and don't tell me you had to, because you don't. There's no temptation such as coming to man wherewith God hadn't given us a way of escape. Right. There is a way to get out of every temptation. Amen. Every one of them. Amen. Amen. Well, a trial is something externally, is when something externally affects us internally. A temptation is when something internally affects us externally. We read it in the verses. There's a process which I'm getting to that sets in motion once that temptation. And I'm not talking about testing from God anymore. I'm talking about what James is talking about. Temptation. The kind that the devil, the flesh, our enemy, the world wants to tempt us into. When that happens, when that temptation is set in motion, there's a chain reaction of things that take place. And you and God are the only two people that can stop it. It can be stopped. You didn't bring on the temptation. But you can stop it if you do it quick. If you linger and lay around, flirt with it, you will be burnt. You will die. You say, that's extreme, preacher. Okay, just hang with me a few minutes and I'll show you what God said. The end of this process, the end of this chain of events, it's death. Death. Yeah. Look. This is serious business. You know how much chaos and how many lives could have been saved and how many homes could have been salvaged and can be if we could get a handle on stopping temptation in its tracks. I mean, as soon as you realize, oh my goodness, no, and you stop and say, Lord, in Jesus' name, get that away from me. I don't want to think about that. No, I don't. You see a person, you go the other way. If you see a thing that tempts you, you go another way. If you could stop it right there. It's so much easier than you toying and flirting and musing. I don't preach against Facebook a whole lot. I have my issues with it. I get on there very rarely. But I tell you this, this is the truth. Anything that the people who created it won't let their children do and participate in, why would I let mine and why would I be? That's right. All them people in Silicon Valley, they don't let their kids on none of that stuff because it's so addictive. Do you know that through Facebook, I'm talking about the temptations, old flames get flickered. Them old boyfriends and girlfriends. The statistics would surprise you. Everybody in here that gets on Facebook, you may not have been tempted by it, but you know what I'm talking about. The divorce rate has increased dramatically since Facebook come out. Social media don't need to be a problem for you. That old girlfriend, you better not even befriend her. Right. Let me tell you a good fix for it. How about you and your wife get on there together? Amen. If you got to have it, get on there together. Amen. Ooh. Lord help us. Number one at 12 o'clock. I hate to drink water in front of y'all, but I cut grass and I'm gummed up. Number one, look at verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Is that what your Bible says? Number one, the force of temptation. There is a force of temptation. Do you see it there in 14? But every man is tempted when he's drawn away and enticed. I mean, it's a universal force. What do you mean? I mean, it can affect the greatest Christians we've ever known have been tempted. There is no boundary. There is no escape. Listen, you will be tempted. Again, as I mentioned, if Jesus was tempted, so will you be. So will I. It's a universal force that you will have to reckon with. Amen. Abraham faced temptation. Father Abraham had many sons. That old song, them kids, listen. Abraham, that great man of faith that we believe in, the whole Jewish nation was born out of his faith toward God. Oh, but we got to remember, Abraham lied. Abraham wasn't no perfect man, and I ain't either. But I tell you what I ain't going to do. I ain't going to purposefully plan to go back in the mess flirting around with the people, the places, or the things that got me in so much trouble the first time. Yes, sir. If God ever really, you ever really repent, you will not want to go back. No, preacher. playing
Amen.
And plotting with that old lifestyle.
Amen.
You know how you ever get broken over sin, you'll weep. You ever get broken over your sin, it will humble you. You won't just walk. Hey, listen. I'm preaching in the church that I was a member of when I brought shame on the name of God, my family, and everybody else, and I about lost everything. And by the grace of God, I humbled myself, and God humbled me in front of everybody, publicly, humiliated, humbled me. I wouldn't take nothing for it, because you can never start over and be right with God until you first come to the place of repentance.
Amen, preacher.
Period.
Amen.
God don't scoop things under the rug. You either get right or you're going to get left. That's right.
Amen, preacher.
How can two walk together except they be agreed? You ain't going to walk through this world with God and you in sin. Well, Abraham lied, Moses killed. Moses killed a man, got mad in his anger. You say, Moses? Oh, meek Moses? His anger got built up so bad, I thought he was the meekest man in the world, Moses. Well, he was. But temptation is universal. And it'll go all the way up the chain, to the greatest Christian, down to the lowest. And Moses, he allowed that temptation of anger to overwhelm him, and he struck out and killed that Egyptian. You think you're a better Christian than Moses? You think you're closer to God than Abraham? I know God loves me. I'm going to tell you this. Brother Wayne, I ain't never heard God say that I was his friend publicly. He said that about Abraham. Abraham was a friend of God. I'm saying you can be that close to God, that powerful and strong of a Christian, that still don't eliminate temptation in your life. You're still going to get tripped up if you're not careful. And listen, you can lose so much. And trust me, when you're in the middle of the hurricane and the temptation, like David was when he was having that affair with Bathsheba, he was caught up in the moment. And that's when and how the devil works. When the sand's flying, when the heart's beating and the blood vessels, I mean, it's in that moment that you lose. And I'm telling you, we can stop it from getting to that point. Matter of fact, that's the only way to stop it. If you let it, if you flirt with it, muse on it, meditate on it, think about it, let it hang around, you will lose. And by the way, you've heard this your whole life, but sin will cost you more than you want to pay. It will take you longer and further than you want to stay. I promise you, sin will hurt you. It'll ruin you. Oh, they may be pleasuring it now, but it's only for a season. Only for a season. Jeremiah wanted to quit. He was tempted to quit. You ever been there? I have. You can't live there, though. You can't stay in a place where you want to quit all the time. I was listening to a message in the wee hours of the morning by this black preacher. Probably the best preacher walking the planet. This man he was just made to preach. Brother Kenny Baldwin, Dr. Kenny Baldwin from up in Virginia.
Amen.
Hey, he was preaching on how to deal with the death of a family member. How many messages you ever heard on that? Boy, I'm telling you, I was getting help. I was getting help. And in that message, he got to talking about how he almost brought shame and disgrace to his father, who the pastor, it would have ruined their ministry had he not cut ties and got away from sin. Amen. Only by the grace of God. And that's how it will be with me and you. You cannot, you will not beat sin. You will not overcome it in and of yourself. If you hang around, you're going to get it.
Right.
You're going to get involved in it.
Right.
And it don't never look as serious at the start. It's always small. Oh, you look nice today. Like that new dress. When's the last time you told your wife that?
Right. Come on.
Better stop it right there.
Amen.
Take a compliment and move away. Next time, go as far as you can to get away from that woman.
Amen.
Sorry, preacher. You think I'm playing? I ain't playing. Not a little bit. The devil's out to ruin and wreck your home. Would you listen? It starts small, always. Hey, you know the verses. The devil's the most subtle beast of the field. Cunning, crafty, slow, meditated. Willing to wait until you get ready to entertain that temptation. And then he attacks. And then he's got you. And then you ruin it. We talked about the universal force of temptation. It's also an underestimated force. I believe we underestimate how serious temptation really is.
Amen.
If we just counted the cost of all the homes that have been broken because somebody gave in to temptation. That right there, I could quit preaching and we could all just spend the rest of the day mourning the loss of the homes that have been broken through temptation. Are you listening? Don't underestimate this force. I underestimated it. I'll just be honest with you. I spoke earlier of me. Most of y'all know my testimony. I'm not here to brag on it or give the devil any glory. But I started small. Just a little bit. Even on the first ride up the road, when it all started, in my mind I had it, I will never do that. But I got in the car with the ones who were. I said no. They said, oh, come on. I said no. I said, y'all crazy. I'll never do that. Before the ride was over, I was doing it. Don't tell me you got the power over sin, because I'm telling, God put me as the authority to tell you, you don't.
Right.
You will lose.
Right.
It started out small, one ride up the road, token on a joint. Let me just say this. Where I ended up, it wasn't smoking a joint. As bad as that is, as wicked as that is, I promise you, when you could count every bone in my body, see my skull, because I was so strung out on dope, it goes back to day one. That small temptation that I give in to, and then give in to, and then give in to, and it got me, and it ruined me, and it hurt me, and not just me, but everybody that I know that loves me.
Right.
And I'm here pleading with you. Do not underestimate temptation.
Right.
God help. God help us not to underestimate temptation. The source, not only the force, but the source of temptation. Right there in the Word of God, verse 14, toward the end. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Let me just say a word right there. I'm about to preach about it anyway, but quit trying to blame everybody for your sin. It's your own lust. It's, that's what it's, drawn away, enticed by your own. Take ownership of it. Hey, you know when I got right with God? When I owned it. When I quit passing the buck. That's what Eve did. It's natural. It's natural. When God came, Adam, Adam. Adam wasn't hiding in the garden. He wasn't there. He was hiding. Remember? What was he hiding behind? I saw this week. Somebody pointed out. What was old Adam hiding behind? Oh, my friend Chris Hewitt shot me this. What was Adam hiding behind? A tree. Let that sink in. The second Adam, he didn't hide on a tree, but he hid us from the tree. Listen, Adam, they would go for daily walks in the garden, but not now. Something radically has changed. Something tragic has happened. Please hear me right now. What happened changed the course of humanity. For all humanity. You talking about like 2,000, 4,000, 6,000? I'm talking about every baby that's ever been born has been affected by what Adam and Eve did by giving in to temptation. Are you listening? You say, I'm pleading with us all. You better take it serious. Because of, Adam, and when they finally got their figs leaves together and come out and said, okay, here we are. God said, what happened? Where you been? And Eve said, oh, he did it. And the serpent did it. It wasn't Eve. And Adam said, it wasn't me, it was the serpent. That was all casting, blaming, throwing blame. If you've ever been a pastor or a friend and try to help somebody and counsel somebody and deal with somebody who's going through, a couple going through problems, friends, family going through problems, now it's always, I just sit back usually and let them go at it. It's your fault. No, it's your fault. No, it's their fault. No, it's their fault. Hey, your own lust.
Amen.
That's what it says. You're enticed and drawn away by your own lust. Is that what it says? So it's the source of temptation. Will Rogers said, our country is divided into two groups, the passing of the buffalo and the passing of the buck. It is. And we cannot blame God in the middle of temptation. That happens a lot. God, how many have ever heard? How could a loving God let this happen? And you'll know the truth. I have asked that same question. How could you, Lord? How could you? He said, preacher, I'd never. You might not ever verbalize it, but you've thought it. How could you, Lord? Why? And let me help you. It ain't a sin to ask why. It ain't a sin to ask why God. But to live in that kind of situation, questioning God, is not a good place to be. Because let me tell you something. He's right whether you understand it or not. He's right whether I understand it or not. You can trust him. Whatever he's doing, whatever you think he's taking from you, God never fails. He always does right. That's right. I've never found him unfaithful. David said, the psalmist said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor begging bread. Yeah.
Amen.
You ain't got no reason to doubt him. And we sure shouldn't point a finger and cast blame at him. We can't blame God. We can't always blame the devil. And that happens more than you would ever know. Oh, the devil done that. You ever heard that? Oh, the devil, he's just camping out at our house. Oh, the devil's riding my coattail, preacher. Oh, the devil. If I had a dime for all the old devils I heard, I'd be a pretty rich man. And the devil is guilty of a lot, but we give him way too much credit. I doubt seriously. They ain't but one devil. One Satan. One of those. They ain't but one. Now he's got a lot of demons and imps of hell, but they ain't but one devil. And he's not like the Lord. He's not omnipresent. He ain't everywhere all the time. So I doubt seriously he's ever visited you. You've not been that big of a threat. Don't get your feelings hurt. I doubt he's ever visited me. Because I've never been that much of a threat to him. Don't be so quick. The devil's guilty and he wants us to fail and he will cause us to fail. But he don't even have to be in the picture in order for you to give in to temptation. Your wicked, stinking flesh. That person you look at in the mirror every morning. That's where most of the blame lies. Yeah.
Amen.
Eat your Wheaties this morning. Goodness. I know that's a mouthful, but listen. Quit blaming the devil for what you too sorry to own.
Amen.
Amen. So we can't blame God. We can't always blame Satan. We can't always even blame others. Oh, the world, my friends, they got me into it. Well, that woman, she just enticed me, and or that man, he flexed his muscles and he showed me what he was just. No, we're so quick to just be honest of our own lust. He is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. All right, real quick and we're done. Not only the source and the force of temptation, but the course of temptation. Step one. What I've preached so far is what can happen, things that have happened. But this right here is how you and I can know how to and how not to deal with temptation. There is a way. God put it in His Word. But this is the natural chain of events. This is the natural progression of temptation. It's laid out for us. Step one is a step of desire. You desire something. Verse 14:8 talks about lust. That word lust, it's a strong desire. Hey, y'all listening? You know what lust is? By the way, lust ain't always got to be with another man or another woman. You lusting after somebody's husband or wife. Lust can be, my goodness, I like that house they got, or I like that car. Why ain't my life perfect like theirs? Hey, let me help you. You are listening to the devil now. There ain't nobody's life perfect.
Amen.
I had somebody come to me recently and say, "Preacher, I'm so sorry. I had to get right with the Lord and right with you. He said, I just looked at your family and thought, they just got everything just perfect. I can't. You lost your crazy mind. I ain't got nothing together. Much less all. Lord, help you. I mean, I wanted to be serious and say, yes, I forgive you, but I couldn't. I just laughed. Got it all together. Lust, a strong desire, has to do with our emotion and our feelings. That's where lust is. Emotions and feelings. That's where you're going to get in trouble. Start having feelings. Start getting emotional about things. That's lust. You better learn. Be careful. That's lust. Well, what does the Bible say about lust? Then when lust hath conceived. Hey, this big, I ain't got time to preach on this morning, but this big debate, somewhere in Alabama just signed that abortion bill to try to, and all the countries up in arms over it. Like, yay, let's kill more babies. How dare they? Well, listen, I'm telling you, we say life begins at what? Conception. Right? What did the verse say? But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Then when lust hath conceived. Conceived. Started. When it starts at the very germination. At the very beginning. When it starts. You better deal with it. The longer you hold it, the less chance you have of beating it and letting it go. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. If you hold it and handle it, think on it, like those feelings, like, oh, whoo, just run chills down my spine. Well, I ain't been talked to like that in a long time. Well, she praises me like my wife don't. She listens to me. My wife won't. My wife don't ever get up and put makeup and get dressed like she does. Get all prettied up. How you thinking like that? You better cut that tie like now.
Yes.
Like, way before now. You in trouble if you're already there. You better cut it and run. Be like Joseph. Out of here. That's right. Don't hang around no Jezebel. Hey, by the way, if she'll cheat with you, she'll cheat on you.
Amen. Amen.
And if they'll gossip to you, they'll gossip about you. Felt better with it off. Step of desire, lust, has to do with our emotions and feelings. The beginning of temptation. Lust is the beginning. A step of deception. Not only a step of desire, but a step of deception. Enticed. Verse 14, the second, latter part, has to do with our mind. I said lust has to do with our feelings. Being enticed has to do with our mind. That's where the decision's made. Like a fishing lure looks good, but a fish has no idea what the outcome's going to be. It looks so shiny and tasty, but it don't see the treble hooks. No more than we when we're enticed. Do we see the hooks that will rip us apart? Adam and Eve, we just mentioned step number 3, not only a step of desire, being lustful, a step of deception, being enticed, but a step of disobedience. That is the progression. You first desire it, then you're deceived, but then you become disobedient. I can understand, you know, and you do understand, Eve was deceived. Adam disobeyed. That's why you read all through the New Testament. Sin entered the world through who? Not Eve. Through Adam. Because he knew better and did it. Eve was being deceived by the devil. She was wrong, but not as wrong as Adam. Hey, man. Hey, sir. Hey, daddy. Hey, husband. Won't you stand up and be a man and quit being deceived and dishonest and be disobedient to God? Won't you try being honorable, holy, sinless, being an example to your children?
Amen.
Give your children a path to follow you.
Amen.
And the same goes to mamas. Amen. Care how much we say live this way, when they see us living another way, God help us. Monkey see, monkey do. Step of disobedience, conceived, has to do with our will. And then lastly, step of death. And that's the final point. That's where it leads to. When sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. And the next verse says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Do not err. Temptation is a real thing. Probably, I wouldn't be surprised, considering how wicked our flesh is, probably in this service, you've been tempted. I'm sure the devil has said, right, I don't know what time it is either, and I'm not about to apologize. I'm about done, but listen to me. I'm not done. I'm about done. God help us. God help us. I guarantee you there's people sitting in this church building this morning. And I'll tell you why I know and how I know this is true. Because I used to sit where you sit. I used to sit in the pew where you sit. And hear a preacher preach messages like this when I would have sin in my life. And this is what the devil does. In church, he's talking. Somebody told him. He knows that. He knows that about me, and he's trying to jab that in me. Hey, God being my witness, strike me dead with a lightning bolt where I preach and stand if I had anybody in mind. I didn't know who would or who wouldn't be here today. I just come and preach what God put in the mailbox.
Amen.
Don't let the devil say, oh, the preacher's trying to gouge you and get you. Nope. The preacher's trying to help you.
Amen.
Not lose everything you got.
Amen.
Let's stand together. Father, in Jesus' name, we love you. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your grace. God, we thank you that you have made a way of escape. God, we do not have to fall into temptation. Lord Jesus, may we respond as you did with the Word of God. It is written. It is written. It is written. Every time Satan would come to us, may we respond boldly in the name of Jesus. God, I pray for any sinner that's being deceived, God, this morning, headed for a devil's hell. I pray you'd reveal that to their heart. God, for any child of God that's walking a distance from you, Lord, they've given in to that lust. And that lust has conceived and brought forth sin. And that sin, Lord, is heading them and swiftly to their death. I pray, oh God, Lord, it may be the death of their family. It may be the death of their home. It may be the death of their ministry. It may be the death, oh Lord, of their life. God, I ask you, may this be the hour, the very moment, Lord, that you would extend a hand and an offer, God, that they would receive. on bended knee, Lord, we ask you. In Jesus' name. Some are praying. If you need these altars, it's open.